The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
The Bible says, to them that believe, he gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. I have a very deep conviction that becoming is experiencing the full transformation that Christ has planned for your life.
Our guest now in First Person has seen a full transformation through Christ in his own life. We'll meet Pastor Al Toledo of the Chicago Tabernacle in just a moment. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Welcome to First Person and the conversation to come. If you ever miss us on radio, you can always listen online at firstpersoninterview.com or by using your favorite podcast app. This program is made possible through the support of the Far East Broadcasting Company, whose purpose is to reach the world for Christ through radio and new media. FEBC is celebrating its 75th year of ministry, and we'll have more to say about that in the days ahead. But in the meantime, please visit febc.org to learn more about what God is doing through this ministry in 50 countries of the world, reaching millions with the gospel. Go to febc.org. Our guest, Al Toledo, is the pastor of one of Chicago's great churches, the Chicago Tabernacle. Originally from Brooklyn, New York, Pastor Al is a son-in-law of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, Pastor Jim Cimbala. But Al has his own story of conversion and calling, as we'll learn.
Well, I had a, I guess, somewhat of an unusual upbringing in the sense my parents came from Cuba in 1959. They were escaping Castro's.
They were on the cusp of that revolution then.
Yes. I mean, they were some of the last people to get out. And they barely spoke English. My dad worked in a factory. And they moved into a really bad neighborhood. It's called Fort Greene, Brooklyn. If you know the Nikki Cruz story, It's the same exact setting.
Okay.
Same place. And we were not a Christian family, but my parents were pretty strict. And it really was very powerful for me, because I would come to know the Lord when I was 17 years old. Until then, about five of my friends did time for murder. We had 10 people in our neighborhood at least die of AIDS. So it was really rough, but I never got in trouble because I would have to face my dad. And so also I was gifted to play baseball. The national religion of Cuba is baseball.
Yes, of course.
And my dad... What's
the team in New York then that you were looking up to?
Well, you know, it's funny. I grew up a Mets fan. Everyone was a Yankee fan, but my idol, his name was Tom Seaver.
Oh, yeah.
My idol was on the Mets. And so I wanted to be a baseball player since I was like 3 years old.
Were you a pitcher then?
And I was a pitcher. It turns out I was, you know, very gifted. And by the time I was a senior in high school... I was ranked as one of the top 25 high school prospects in the nation.
Wow.
And so I was well on my way. I threw in the mid-90s. I was well on my way to becoming a professional baseball player. And I met the Lord as a result of kind of becoming nervous about my baseball career. So it was my senior year in high school, and we were about to start our first game of my senior year, and I got a call from the farm director of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So he was in charge of all of their minor leagues.
Formerly the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yes, that's right. And so he asked when I was going to pitch, and I told him, yes, it's 2 weeks. And I hung up the phone, and I went into my room. And then all of a sudden, I just got nervous. I mean, I had lived my whole life for this moment. There was a lot hanging on it. I was the hope of my family. Is going to be able to buy my mother a home. We're talking about a two-bedroom apartment, five flights up, no elevator type of deal. And my dream was to buy my mother a house. So I actually got nervous. I was really good ball player, but I just got nervous. And I started to pace in the room. And then all of a sudden, I started to almost feel a desire like I was supposed to pray. there was a Bible. We went to Catholic school.
Okay. Were you accustomed to prayer at that time?
No. I guess I prayed occasionally when I was on the baseball field.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But other than that...
Lord, help me not mess this up, huh?
Yeah. Or Lord, help me to hit a home run or strike this guy. It was kind of that very utilitarian.
Baseball Fox whole stories.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. That's really good. So... So something, after a couple of hours of just pacing, something said, pick up that Bible. So we had a Bible on the shelf, and I mean, it became so strong. I pulled it out, and I just opened. And when I opened, it was to Acts chapter 27, I believe. And I read this story about Paul being shipwrecked, and everyone was, well, about to be shipwrecked. Everyone is panicking, and he's very calm. And he's telling everyone to relax. And I didn't really understand the story, except that everyone's freaking out and he's very cool. And so I closed the Bible and I said, Lord, if you're real, this man trusted you with his life. I'm willing to trust you with my baseball career. If you'll just help me. That was it.
You had no one lead you to that point.
No.
It was simply the Spirit.
Yes.
Prompting you to pray and pick up the word.
Correct. So fast forward 2 weeks, it's the first game of the year. I've lived my whole life for this season, because in your senior year in high school, you can get drafted, and which I would go on to get drafted, but I'm living for this moment, and it's arrived. I get to the park, there's 15 scouts there, and they're all there to see me. I walk out to warm up. I take my hat off. And I said, Lord, if you're real, then would you please help me today? And when I prayed that prayer, the way I would describe it is that there was like a sweet mist of heaven just came down and swept over my soul. Mm. And I was born again. Right at that moment.
What did you think about what was happening to you in that moment?
Well, it was really bizarre, because I was stunned. I had had a revelation of God. I didn't understand it, but I knew that Jesus was real, and I knew that the Bible was real. I can't describe how, but I just know that I knew. So I warm up. I go into the game. I'm throwing 92 miles an hour. I'm sitting on the bench. Everyone thinks I'm in the zone. And honestly, I wasn't even in the game. I wasn't thinking about the game. I wasn't thinking about my baseball career. All I could think about was the fact that Jesus was real, and I had just had the most powerful experience with him that I just didn't understand.
Wow.
So I'm going out to the pitcher's mound, and I'm pitching, but I'm not thinking about the game. I mean, I'm throwing 92 miles an hour. The guys were not. This is high school. They weren't going to hit me. I wasn't thinking about it. We get to the fifth inning. I pull a muscle in my left leg in the strangest place, and I was in such incredible physical condition. It just made no sense. And little did I know that the day I gave my heart to the Lord was actually the beginning of the end of my baseball career.
Oh, boy.
So I pull a muscle in my leg, and the next week I can't really pitch, and the following week I can't really pitch. And before you know it, my season is unraveling right before my eyes.
The scouts sort of drift away, or
yeah, because I couldn't pitch, and but meanwhile I'm a closet Christian. I'm reading the Bible on the sneak. Some people started to catch wind of it and started to say, "This guy's losing his mind." Mm. Even in my own family, they were saying he's kind of losing his mind, and I would go on to get drafted in the sixth round. I was slated to go in the first or second. The VP of the White Sox came to my house. I was 17. My parents didn't speak English. They didn't know how to negotiate. I negotiated on my own. And I said to him, it's a good offer, but I can't buy my mom a house with that money. And so next year, you'll have to sign me again. You'll draft me again, and then you'll give me big money. And he said, he literally said to me, look, you're the steal of the draft, but you didn't pitch. We couldn't draft you high because you didn't pitch. He said, sign with me, and I'll give you all the money you want. But I said, no, you know, I have an obligation to my family. So I went to a college in Texas, D1 college. We were ranked like 11th in the nation or so. And my first day there, I go out to run on the track, and I meet a Christian, and he was on the baseball team. And he discipled me.
Was that the first believer you had any meaningful contact with?
Yes, that's the first believer I ever met in my life. And so he taught me how to read the Bible. I went to Fellowship for Christian Athletes, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And they would photocopy one page of the Bible, and the leader of the group would kind of take us through it, and it was just absolutely transforming for me. I went to, maybe I visited one church while I was in college, and then I went home. I ended up getting injured because I was trying to go too fast, and no one stopped me. And so I ended up getting an injury. I went home, and when I went home, someone told me about the Brooklyn Tabernacle. So it turns out that there was this amazing church less than 10 blocks away from me my whole life, but I just never walked through the doors. And so I walked through the doors, and I was absolutely blown away by the presence of God, the love of God. And that's where I started to feel God really moving upon my heart to do something different.
We'll learn more about the life and calling of Pastor Al Toledo coming up in just a moment here on First Person.
I'm so grateful for the grace I receive while listening to FBBC all day long. I cried listening to God's message multiple times.
The Far East Broadcasting Company receives millions of responses each year from grateful listeners. FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is Pastor Al Toledo of the Chicago Tabernacle. And we're in his office here hearing his story of how God met him and led him in life and called him into the pastorate. So when we left you a moment ago, you were in Brooklyn Tabernacle for the first time in your old neighborhood.
Yes.
And the pastor there, of course, is Jim Cimbala.
Yes.
Who would eventually turn out to be your father-in-law. Well, that's another part of the story,
I had no idea I'd end up marrying the pastor's daughter.
Yeah, you got in good right away. So pick up the story. I mean, you had to grow as a believer. I mean, now to be plugged into a church.
Yeah, so, you know, I was so blessed. One of the greatest gifts of my life was that the first church I walked into was a place that really loved the Lord, that really honored the Word of God, and that really loved people.
Yeah, God was taking care of you.
Yeah, and I needed all three. And I started to grow very quickly because the culture of seeking God there was so strong, and I was introduced to godly books, and I started to get involved in ministry. And one of the first ministries that I got involved in actually was the thing that changed the direction of my life. When it came to what I would do for the rest of my life, there was New York City police officer, who I became friends with, and he read an article in the New York Post or the Daily News about a group of drag queens that were living in an abandoned garbage dump in Manhattan, and he said, "You know what? We're going to go and take them food, and we're going to share the gospel with them." And quite frankly, I thought it was crazy.
To say your reaction was?
Yeah. I mean, I just thought that this was crazy, and I didn't want to be around those people, and on it goes. But because he said to do it, I just agreed. And so he rallied a group of people, and we went on a Friday. It's like a Friday night. And I'll never forget it because they literally lived in an abandoned, it was like a garbage dump where the garbage trucks that didn't work anymore, they would just leave them there. Mm. And so they would drag mattresses into the cabin and they would sleep inside of those,
wow,
those cabins. And these were men dressed like women who were actually crack addicts. And what they would do is they would go and sell themselves, buy crack, and then...
Just a vicious circle for them.
Right. And then as soon as the money, the drugs ran out, they would start again. So this was right before they would go out to start selling themselves. We took them a meal. What was so powerful for me about being out there is that I can say this after being in church for 30 some odd years, out on the street with those drag queens, I experienced the love of God in a way that is indescribable.
Wow. Reluctantly at first.
Yes. When the Lord came down, these guys were talking, I understand Spanish. They were talking about us in Spanish, saying dirty, ugly things. Mm. But I felt such a deep compassion and love for them. It was absolutely overwhelming.
They didn't think that you understood what they were saying.
Right. They had no idea. But it didn't matter. We still hugged them, and we still loved on them, and we brought them to church, and we fed them. And I preached my first sermon to 18 drag queens.
And how many pastors can say that?
And you know, quite a few of them gave their heart to the Lord.
Praise God.
They got free of drugs. They got free of their sexual perversions. It was absolutely a Book of Acts season in my life.
So how did that propel you into your calling as a pastor?
Well, after being on the streets with them, and this was about 2 or 3 years, I just came to the realization that I couldn't do anything else but serve God and his people. And I talked to my leaders, my pastors, and I went to Bible school for just 1 year. I was a very intense student. And then when I completed that year, doors for ministry started to open, and I just went right into the ministry.
Okay.
So I had lots of opportunities to serve in the church leading up to that point.
This is still at Brooklyn Tabernacle?
Yes, but right after school, that's when I ended up getting married, and Chrissy and I, as soon as we got married, we went right into the ministry.
Okay. What brought you to Chicago?
Well, we've been on quite a journey, but 17 years ago, I was on staff at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. We had been away, pastored in different places, but when Pastor Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, mm-hmm, really launched and he was traveling, you know, we had a conversation and he said, you and Chrissy, if you guys would pray about coming back to help with everything that's happening here. We prayed and went, and it was about 4 years almost. And, I was helping to run the day-to-day operations and was sort of backup preaching when Pastor Cimbala was gone, and Chrissy helped with the choir and did the youth choir. But at a certain point, I really felt in my heart like God was calling me to plant a church. There was a moment in time when like the grace lifted to be there, and we started to search.
A friend of mine, someone has said, put your yes on the table and let God put it on the map. So
absolutely.
So your map was Chicago.
Correct. And I was actually at a meeting in Kansas City where Pastor Cimbala was speaking. I was in the front row because I was with him. And he preached a message titled, The Man Who Wouldn't Listen. It was like 6,000 pastors. When he made the altar call, I went right to the altar. I was like the first one there.
Mm.
And I really prayed. It was right at that time. And I said, Lord, I want you to lead me. I surrender. And when I got up from there, a man was standing there. And he was a leader in Illinois. And he said, would you pray about coming to start a church? And so it started this process of coming to check out the city. And he actually had a church in mind. And we drove into the parking lot of the church. my wife and I, and we knew immediately it was a no.
Hmm.
But we enjoyed the weekend, and we kept connecting with people. And right, almost on our way to the airport to head back to New York, my wife turns to me and says, you know, that was the wrong church, but this is the right city, and we're supposed to plant a church.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
God plants that in your heart, you know? It just...
Yeah, my wife has a lot of faith, yeah. You know? A lot of the great ideas start with her.
I think it was Luis Palau who once said that the voice of God sounds like your wife.
Yeah, exactly. And so we started to pray, and then at a certain point, we got the release, and we moved here. We didn't know anyone here. Mm. We didn't exactly know where we were going to plant or how we were going to do it. I was ready to take a job with UPS.
So this church started from scratch?
Yes.
I wish we had time to tell more of the miraculous stories of the Chicago Tabernacle, but just briefly tell me, why do you love Chicago, and why has God prospered this church?
Well, this is an absolutely amazing city, and I love the not only the diversity, but the sincerity of the people. You know, there's a sincerity, in my opinion, there's such a sincerity and openness to Chicagoans. And it's like you can really connect with them. And from the moment we came, we just connected with them. And the Lord put a supernatural love in us for this city. And from the moment we planted and pioneered, should I say, the Chicago Tabernacle, we always prayed, Lord, when they walk through the doors, let them feel your love.
Yes.
And we've never stopped praying that.
Is there a particular verse of scripture that spoke to you then and now?
You know, I've had a number of verses, but, you know, if you went on our website, our mission statement is Chicago Tabernacle is a place of becoming. The Bible says, to them that believe, he gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. And for me, I have a very deep conviction that becoming is not just getting converted. Becoming is experiencing the full transformation that Christ has planned for your life. And that's really exciting for me because we have men and women who've been incarcerated, or they come from generations of brokenness because of drug addiction, alcoholism. And that doesn't intimidate us, because when someone starts the process of becoming, there is power from on high to help them to go all the way through. And it really characterizes who we are and what we're shooting for.
That's Pastor Al Toledo of the Chicago Tabernacle. He has an amazing story of turning his life over to Christ and following God's leading. Now, there's one more thing I talked about with Pastor Toledo, and that's his vision for biblical discipleship. He has a book titled DNA of a Leader, and when you go to firstpersoninterview.com, you'll find an additional few minutes of conversation on this topic in a bonus file. DNA of a Leader focuses on the fundamentals of what makes a leader privately healthy and publicly fruitful for the kingdom of God. Listen to that extra conversation at firstpersoninterview.com. My thanks to the Far East Broadcasting Company for supporting First Person. Take just a few moments to watch some of the exciting videos of FEBC's ministry at febc.org and learn how to pray more effectively for listeners in other countries. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again next time for First Person.